Day 45, marooned at MacBite's headquarters. With a dog who's decided, bang on, 30 seconds before broadcast, would be a good time to start barking to go out. Now, what do I do about that? She's now happily eating schmackos out of my hand. Daddy is busy, so Mummy is looking after her. Daddy's going to be thrilled when he realises how many treats you've had, isn't he? Yes, Mummy. Quite right, Lola. So, how is everybody? Lots going on here today. It shouldn't have been another one of those days. Hello, Deb CQCQ. I think I need to lie down for a bit. We thought yesterday was going to be the busiest day. Oh, how little did we know. Then I remembered that I'd booked myself onto a three-day conference. They didn't send a calendar invitation and I forgot to put it on my calendar. So the first I knew about it was an email that said the session's beginning in less than an hour. And I thought, what session? On the upside, I wasn't the one speaking. So it could have been a whole lot worse. So how are you, Deb? Right, Lola, I'm coming. Let's see what else we've got in the magic box.
That is here now.
Oh, well, she either wanted to go out or she wanted a treat. She's had two schmackos and she was about to have another treat. But if she'd rather go outside...
Should we go outside?
Let's see which she goes for.
What should we do?
Love you, Daddy, but now I've seen a treat. You'd rather have the treat? Oh, she's a happy dog now. Did you notice the time? 30 seconds to showtime and she started.
That's
my
girl.
Oh, what is she like? Yes, indeed. Deb's fine. That's excellent. Good evening, Simon. Now my desk is full of crumbs and dog treats.
I have headphones.
Really? Yeah. Yours or mine?
Mine.
Why? What was the matter with the others?
My AirPods wouldn't connect.
To what?
To my phone.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
You mean you've broken them?
Yeah.
Right, let's get rid of all the dog treats off the desk. Right, see, she's quite happy now.
She is.
But she'd gone downstairs. Now, if I'd have followed her and said, come upstairs with me, she'd have legged it. But I stood at the top and said, Lola, Lola, and wafted a schmacko. I couldn't go out at that time. Every single time Mike's got a webinar, that happens. Hello,
yes,
Kim.
But how many times do I take her out during after hours?
Yeah, she knows, you see.
And I take her out at 5 to 9. And by 5 to 10, she wants to go out again. I'm 5 to 11.
Yes.
I'm 5 to 12.
Because she knows. But every other night when we're not actually live on air,
no,
she's fine.
She is.
Absolutely fine. Oh, so how is everybody? Right, Deb says she's fine. How's everybody else? I was explaining that I'd forgotten I'd booked myself onto a three-day conference until I got an email that said, your session starts in an hour. And I thought, am I speaking? Then realised, no, I wasn't.
Right, I'm going to bring my kit back in.
You bring all your toys back in. I'll get everybody up to speed with what on earth's been going on here. That was about 1 o'clock this afternoon that I discovered that. So it could have all been much worse. But we're coming to you live from rainy Manchester. I am pleased to report. Why am I pleased to report this? Well, last week we were saying there were so many people out on the roads. Now, nobody. Not a soul. Clearly don't like rain. So not only has the weather been bad, but we are assured there is worse weather on the way. Now, last year, February was fantastic. It was beautifully warm. This year, April, beautifully warm. Usually, absolutely piddling it down. But it says a week's worth of rain is due to hit Britain within 24 hours. And before that, after that, thunder and hail. Know what that means? Flooding again, probably. So we've got that to look forward to. But as I said, not all bad, because it will keep people inside. And if that saves at least one life, it's worth it. So what's the weather like where you guys are? Is it good, bad, indifferent? It's real Manchester weather here, is what I'll say. Real Manchester weather. Oh, Simon's just created some hot piping baguettes. Oh!
Where's mine?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I used to love baguettes.
So did I.
The half-size things are, you know, about 6-7 inches.
You used to sell them at Sainsbury's.
Yeah, I used to get them in Tesco's and we'd cut them in half. In fact, we wouldn't actually cut them.
I made gluten-free.
We'd put a slice in the top. No, I know, I didn't have a baguette from there.
Oh.
I was resting the teeth at the time, if you remember. We're going to have to check. Jonathan will know. Jonathan's bound to know he uses Sainsbury's. Oh, and then I used to put... I'd butter them and I'd put things like beef in. Oh, they were to die for. Simon, we're going to need photos. We're going to need photos. So Paul's doing okay. That's good. That's good. Apart from the weather, everything's okay here. I woke up to news that baby Boris had arrived. That was quick, wasn't it? As I heard it, early summer, which to me is the end of May. Anyway, baby Boris is here. No names, little boy. Have you noticed?
Well, they're not calling it COVID then.
I don't think so. No, I did suggest it, but I don't think so. Don't think he needs to be reminded. Thing is, he only came back to work on Monday and now I think he's on paternity leave. Well, he certainly wasn't in the House of Commons today, let's put it like that. Don't know if you saw the press conference, Mike. The,
I haven't seen
the government conference. Ones.
No.
Well, government press conference, the death rate had gone from 21,500 to 26,000 overnight.
That's not good.
It's all right. It's the figures. You know that lies, damn lies and statistics. Yeah. They've included the deaths from care homes. But that takes our death rate to the second highest in Europe. So not good news on that front. In better news in Manchester. Oh, come on, Johnny, where are you? This one is so Jonathan. There was a thing I saw on Sky News, Mike. You might not have seen it. But it made the point that people are having raves.
A see.
Yes.
A see.
Basically.
Johnny's too young to remember this.
Yay, Johnny's just got bought from the grandparents. He's unloading the shopping but listening. Excellent, Jonathan. You'll love this. It's talking about you. It's saying that there are so many flats in and around Manchester. Jonathan's is brand new. But a lot of the older buildings have been converted. And they've got balconies. So people are having safe raves on their balconies and people are watching from rooftops and stuff. It's a classic. I'll put a link into that. Loads of pictures as well of Liverpool and London and all in lockdown. Total lockdown. You also may remember, I remember this, I was seething. Did you hear the story about the police dog that got attacked with the plank of wood with the nails in?
You told me.
I did, a couple of weeks back. And I said he was up before the beak. He was today. Oh, up before the beak means in court. There's an English sentence.
Only you and Johnny understand that.
only Jonathan and I wouldn't understand that. He was up before, in the court today, before the judge. I'm assuming it didn't have a jury with the safe social distancing, but he got 4 years. Me, I'd have left him in a room with the dog for about a month, but that's just me. But at least he got put away for it. Oh, that's the safe raves. I've already done that. Hang on, let me get you the right link. The police dog's so beautiful on there. You saw a baby police dog yesterday, didn't you?
I did.
What they called
it? Not a real one.
Of course it was real. It was a
photograph. No. It's on the internet. It wasn't real as in outside.
As in touchy, feely, I know that. But he was a real dog.
He was a real dog, yes.
God, he makes it sound like it was stuffed. Oh, I can't get the staff.
Can I tell my story?
Yes, whatever you like. Right. Which one's this?
The one you haven't heard.
Oh.
The unbaking a cake one.
Go on,
guess.
I've got a PDF and I want to edit it in Excel.
You're close.
Go on.
Yesterday, somebody sent me an Excel. No, it wasn't. It was a PowerPoint 95 file and they couldn't open it because doesn't backwards compatibility that far.
Doesn't it?
No.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
No. Apple tried that. Got ripped a new one.
Yeah.
So what are you supposed to do with it?
It's although it's still a PPT, obviously something internally says it's a 95.
But usually it goes the other way.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't be able to open a PPTX now in an older version, but there's usually some degree of...
I think you're all right up to 2003.
Wow. Did not know
so
that.
So the only thing I could do, having Googled it a bit, was open it in Google Sheets, not Google Sheets, Google Slides, which I did.
Yeah.
And then I I then saved it back as a PPT, but that wouldn't work. So I saved it as a PDF.
But then they needed two editors.
Well, actually, I don't think she did, because she wrote back. I said, I've managed to get it as a PDF.
So you can see the content.
So you can see the contents. It was only one slide. But you'd have loved this. It was full of clip art with those star-shaped things.
Oh!
Probably created in 1995.
Probably. I can't believe it.
Anyway, she told me I was a miracle worker. So.
Well, yes, you are. Now, you see, this is where my trademarked presentation life cycle comes into play.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Mm. Oh, yes. You've never finished a presentation until you've gone through the checklist to make sure it's future-proof. Oh, there's always one, isn't there? Did you hear about the bus crash in Manchester, Mike?
I did.
You've got to check these pictures out. I mean, what was the driver on?
I see.
I think he could have been to one of these raves. Rochdale's probably about, what, 15, 20 miles from here? Wasn't the bus purple? One of the purple buses? But yes.
Yes, purple bus.
You can't do that. You can't get a bus under a low bridge. Have you seen the damage to it? What speed must he have been doing? Even the engine thing on the back has popped open. One's got a significant injury. Sadly, not the driver. Stop him doing it again.
The whole roof is ripped off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine you're on the back seat.
I know. If you didn't see that coming, that is bad. Oh, here's Simon's baguettes. I've got to see Simon's baguettes. Ooh, let me have a look. I know I'm going to want one of these. Oh, they are perfect. Wow. Loving those. Well, I didn't know that was how you cook them, but it does make sense, doesn't it? Because they've got that kind of pattern on the bottom. Mm. Now I'm aware. Want some gluten-free ones now, Mike.
So, does Simon do this professionally or is it a hobby?
He does it to annoy me. They are gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. I feel so inadequate now. I can just about butter a round of bread and that's me done. They are fantastic, Simon. Right, let's have a go. Oh, but the crispy's the best bit, Simon. You could do this professionally. You should have a YouTube channel, a baking channel. Absolutely. They look gorgeous.
That's a hobby.
You've got to have it crispy, haven't you? I actually prefer the bottom to the top. I used to love the pattern on the bottom. Mum thought I was weird. She liked the top. But that way it worked.
With lots of hot butter.
Oh.
Well, melted butter, not hot butter, obviously.
Mike's obviously been on something today. Haven't you? Yeah. No, it's just been one of those days, hasn't it?
It has.
It's not over yet. I've just had another text from your mother.
What's she saying?
It's all right. We'll sort it out after this.
Is it 0%?
Yes. Language, Timothy. Oh, shall we share the woes of parental tech support? Mike's mother's got an ISP. That's your internet service provider. And they're rubbish. The speed's appalling. And the thing is, she's using an email address from them. And her email just stops coming in randomly. But literally, three times a day, it's appalling. So we decided, we said, you'd be better off with a Gmail account. So the case, well, I said to Mike, though, you know, she's going to just assume that an account, she can just swap from where she is. And we all know it's not actually that simple. So we gets on the phone with her, emails down again. She's fed up. Not surprisingly, because obviously at the moment, you know, she can't go out and see all her friends and she's a real social bird. And now she can't get emails from them either. So not in the best frame of mind. So we gets on, don't we, to sort out the email. And creating the email was a doddle. What was fascinating was we actually did the creation here, didn't we?
Mm.
We tells her to open a browser and type in gmail.com. When she does, she's logged straight in. And us two are like, she's not got the password yet. And we're just looking at each other. And I said, that's a different Gmail account. She said, I haven't got a Gmail account. So we're looking at each other like, oh, yes, you have. Turns out she'd managed to inadvertently create one 3 weeks ago. So all of that was a fiasco, but we got her logged in, we set it all up, we configured it all. And that only left the slight job of trying to get her email, which has been collected in Outlook, into her new account. So we're looking at each other with like, this would be simple if we were sat there. But it would still take some time if we were sat there. So I said, well, probably the best bet's to get your hands on the PST and we'll do the transfer. The PST, which is a postage store file in Outlook, was 3 gig. So I said, well, Mike just looked at me like, how are we getting that here? So I said, well, I'll do a Dropbox file request. So we did.
Recommended maximum size is about 2 gig.
Well, I know that and you know that. But your mother's not quite mastered deleting stuff, so yeah. So it's all in the bin. So we said, well, this was about 5:05, wasn't it? And I said, we'll leave it for a couple of hours and we'll see how far it gets uploaded, then we'll see what we can do. So Mike heads off, sorts the dog out, gets into his webinar, and I get a text which is, it's not moving, so it's still at 0%, I'm afraid. We'll find a way, Mike. Although my last suggestion was a pigeon. Oh,
I'll
dear.
Go up there, throw a pen drive through the window.
Well, I said we could do with a pigeon to get the pen drive through. And shall we have something to lighten the mood? Have you been on the BBC website, Mike, and seen the plague doctor?
No, I don't think so.
Do you know what a plague doctor looks like?
No.
In the plague, doctors believed that if they wore this mask, which had a huge beak on it, literally a beak like a bird, that they then put herbs and oil in, they wouldn't catch the plague. But these things look totally freak outable when you see them. There's only been some idiot walking around a village in a plague outfit. I'll put the link in, you can have a look at the picture. The police want a word with him. Somebody else said, it's not illegal to walk around looking like that. And another guy said, frighten my wife and kids witless. Go and click on the link, Mike. Plague Doctor 2020. I think you have to be British for this to work. We have
Where
some.
Where is it? Oh, you put the link.
Yes, Mike. The link is in the chat.
Yeah, I was looking.
What for part it. Of the link is in the chat? That one is just an absolute classic. Love it. Wouldn't you be freaked out if you saw that in the park?
Yeah.
I don't know where they've got it from. Oh, who had heard of a plague doctor before then and knew what they look like? Now, the next one's going to freak Mike out. They might already have seen it, I don't know. Do you remember when they recalled those washing machines, Mike, because they set on fire?
Yeah.
Do you know how many they recalled?
No.
524,000.
Oh, that one there.
Half a million. And now they've just added another 55,000 to it. The odds of you not having one of these washing machines that spontaneously combust is slim to non-existent.
Doesn't look like that.
That's not ours, no. But yeah. I'm pretty sure we did, maybe the one we had before this one.
Yeah.
But it died a death. It didn't explode, but it died a death. You know, in my mum's day, the washing machines were probably a quarter of the speed they are now. You could only wash at like 30 degrees and the powder didn't destroy your clothes. And yet, they were clean. These days, your washing machine could self-combust. Your dryer could go the same way. The powder, do you remember when Mum got that different powder and my skin fell off?
Yeah.
All around the seams where the powder would have collected. It's nothing simple these days in tech.
No.
You'd be better off with 2 stones.
Mm.
Yeah, that one wasn't good news, but I do think it's not us. Kim says she thinks the coverings would help protect the doctor somewhat. They were actually, if you think about it, quite brave back in the days of the plague, going in wearing just that. Although, if you saw somebody dressed like that going in somebody's house, you'd be thinking, oh, they've got the plague. Not good. But I thought the police, they were just going to have a word with him. They can't stop him wearing that. Do you remember that other one in the gimp mask about 6-8 months ago? Some village somewhere in the south of England, there was a girl, well, there was more than one girl out, but obviously they tend to have their phones in their hands. And this guy was jumping out of bushes, dressed from head to foot in a gimp outfit, complete with mask, and then exposing himself. But the idiot, the girls just got their phone out and took a picture and gave it to the police. There must be something in the water. I wonder if it's the same village. Oh, my. Oh, my. Anyway, what about your other news, Mike? Because that's going to be a feat of technical achievement. Well, at the moment, all of the sport in the UK is suspended, including football. Some of the leagues and some countries have decided that they'll just abandon the league for this year. But whoever's in charge of the Premier League just keep prevaricating about it, don't they? Mm. So imagine our surprise when the news came through today that... There you go. You've no idea what I'm talking about. You have, because you were talking about it earlier.
Safe standards?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Who won?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Right. God, I need more staff. Shall I explain why it's important? We always used to stand at football matches when I was a kid. My dad preferred to sit, I preferred to stand. But when I started going on my own, I was in the standing area and all was well. There was a few scuffles and stuff. They put up barriers in the 70s when there was a lot of football hooliganism, but they'd taken them all down again. Except for Europe. Europe wanted them up, didn't they? So we had half and half barriers. So what happened was the barrier at the front of a stand, it had a fence in, like a 6-foot fence or even an 8-foot fence. But what it was on a hinge. So for normal matches in the English league, they were down. And for the European matches, the fences were up. And then Hillsborough happened. You wonder why they didn't have those kind of fences, wasn't it? They
True. Could
put them down. Hillsborough is Sheffield Wednesday's ground, isn't it?
I was there 2 months before.
Yeah, well, I wasn't, never been. Went on a tour, decided didn't like the look of it. Hillsborough was a semi-final in the FA Cup in 1989, and it was Liverpool playing Nottingham Forest in the semi-final. And all things went wrong. They ended up opening some gates. A lot of people came through the gates, headed straight for the central tunnel, and there was... I'm loathe to say it's an accident, because it was gross stupidity on the part of people involved. But there was a crush and 96 people died.
Be careful what you say on live radio.
Exactly. Allegedly. There you go, allegedly.
It could be, what's the word? Subjudicial.
Well, the case is over, isn't it? He was found not guilty. But somebody had to be at fault somewhere for doing something. Let's just leave it at that. Allegedly. Don't come for me. Allegedly. But that meant no standing at football matches anymore. So over the years... All the standing areas had seats put in them. But there's been a campaign to instigate something called safe standing. Now, you're going to have to explain what that is, because although I've seen the pictures, I'm none the wiser.
Yeah, I've seen pictures from other grounds.
Basically, they'll put it's, in like something for you to lean on.
Yeah, it's still seats. But
you don't have to sit down. That'd be right.
Like that there.
There's not much point showing. You see, that to me looks like
seating. Well, I'll post this link.
Seating.
Well, it is. It's seats. But I presume you can actually stand. So you tip the seats up and you can stand. I'll post the link in the chat and people can see.
When you look at this photo, the difference between what you're looking at and what we used to have is that we didn't used to have barriers on every step. So the standing area was stepped and... The barriers were just like randomly placed. I mean, I've been in situations in football grounds which you'd get pretty crowded.
Well, let's find a picture of the Stretford end.
Although there certainly weren't that many barriers in it. So basically, it's a seat that you don't have to sit on. But as Mike said, today, really? And I said, how are they going to keep them 2 metres apart? It just doesn't make any sense. That was the old fence. That was
the old fence.
That was the old fence, circa the early 80s. There must be a picture of the Stretford end with the barriers in. So I think they'll have to use technology with this. That's how it relates to us in technology. They have a camera system at Old Trafford where they can focus in on each individual face of a person in the stadium, which is great until somebody's done for racism and they say, oh, we've no idea who that was. You wonder, don't you, Mike? But what they'll have to do with this now, heaven knows. I don't see how you can open a football stadium and sit on every other seat because they're all season tickets.
They're not going to use it until the matches restart.
I'm seriously beginning to wonder if matches will restart or whether they'll be behind closed doors.
Not this season, it won't. Going back to what you've just said about having a camera that can be trained on any single person. Do you remember in the 80s, they used to have face in the crowd and put it in the programme?
Yep.
At every home match, for anyone who doesn't follow football or soccer, at every home match, there's a magazine which they call the Match Day Programme. And what they used to do is they used to print a photograph of a random part of the crowd and they'd circle a random person. And that person won something. Was it money?
I think it was about £25, wasn't it? Something like that.
But yeah, so they've been able to train cameras on any part of the ground for many years.
Yeah, but they don't admit it.
True.
They tell you that when you go on a stadium tour.
Yes.
But my point is, when somebody's accused of racism in a certain stand, oh, we've got no cameras on there. That's how it always seems to work. But so Kim's saying you'll have to stand 6 feet apart. I don't have any idea how they could implement that. I really don't. I mean, if it's a standing area, there'll be an allotted number of people allowed in. But the only way to have them stood further apart would be to halve the number, like they've done in the House of Commons.
True.
Not that you're noticing the difference in there.
No.
It's just quieter. Mm. So, yeah, they announced that today. And I said to Mike, that's really useful right now, isn't it? Fabulous. Really useful. Today, they don't even know when they're finishing the season, much less letting safe standing happen. Is Tracy in? She's not, is she? I saw this story today and thought, insanity.
It's just the Bleach beach story. Yeah, I saw that.
There's a beach in Spain where, you know this thing about the new illness in children that they're concerned about? They decided they would just bleach the beach. But the thing is, this beach was home to all kinds of wildlife and endangered species. And they'd actually said in the time that Spain had been in lockdown, this beach had flourished. And the council did no more and bleached the thing. And they're saying now there's nothing living, not even an insect.
So have we got an episode title? Bleach the beach.
Bleach the beach.
Bleach the beach.
Kim says she's just seen my freak out photo in Slack. Did you see that conversation, Mike?
No.
Paul came up with a really good idea, if you are that way inclined, in Slack, which was go and get the let me see if I can find it.
It's under random.
Yeah, it's this Zoom thing. Move over Zoom. This magic interface is full of
the square.
It's the future of video conferencing. So I'm watching this thing for quite some time before I realise it's a GIF. But Kim made, so basically what this thing is like a window that I'm assuming, well, you wouldn't put it over a window. You would put it, I'll put the link in the chat. That's not the link. Hang on. That's the link. If you're listening later, the link is in Slack. So basically you put this window in and then you decide if you're going to like lift the blind on this virtual window. And then you'll be able to see your co-workers. Well, I was horrified. Can you imagine you putting it in here? So Kim had put that she's not overly keen on that idea and she puts tape on her camera. Totally get that. I have little stickers. So I said I can't think of anything worse and put the picture in at the bottom.
I've got tape on my camera. I had to appear on camera today.
Why?
Complete with my bad hair day.
Your bad hair day is not a bad hair day. Leave it alone.
It's a very bad hair day.
Leave it alone.
Because I was doing workplace training and somebody asked about go live.
I'll get your cardboard cut out of George Clooney. It'll be fine.
That's better. at least I've got as much grey hair as him.
That's true. You've got plenty more hair than him as well.
Yeah.
Just saying. Oh, it's all lovely and curly at the back.
Yeah.
And if you didn't keep moving it at the front, it'd be fine.
Look at his girly, curly hair.
You have not got girly, curly hair. It's just curly hair. Crying out loud. Yeah, I love that picture. It's been doing the rounds with, like, you know, day 15. I'm fine. How are you? But I thought, no, who the heck are you? I couldn't be doing with that. Having said that, hello, Anthony. Good evening. You need to check out the bread picture. Oh, to die for. Has anybody ever seen these they're like videos on YouTube, and they're study with me videos or work with me videos. And I thought, what on earth's that? So I looked at one and I thought, I'm going to need a bit of help with this. But basically, it's somebody working or studying, and you just have it running alongside you on a monitor, so you're not lonely. Anybody seen one of those? And I thought, that would never work. But by then I'd press play and then I'd started reading it and that. And you know, it was actually quite calming. But I think the difference between that, good morning, Paul. I think the difference between that and this window concept or your colleagues at the other end is you know that it's one way. You're watching them, but they're not watching you because it's a pre-record. But it was actually, I could imagine somebody doing that if they were lonely, which obviously I'm not lonely. No, not lonely. But this concept of like having a window, I could see it happening, couldn't you? Mm. But as Kim pointed out, can you imagine how much that would cost? Luckily, cost might prohibit it, shall we just say. Mind you, look what your company did. They put all those advertising things in. The boards, the smart boards.
Oh, yeah.
They're not smart boards, but smart adverts. Smart. Because smart board implies it's like a whiteboard. Yeah. This is like a TV, isn't it? Mm. That you create content for. But for anybody to see anything on it, they need to be on site. And they're not on site anymore. So that was a huge investment that wasn't necessary.
That saves me a job because I have to provide the content.
Oh, my. Oh, Jonathan, it's been a day and a half. Not sat still at all. What have you been up to? Have you got lots of steps in? Obviously, done the Nanny Isaacs run. Were the brands acceptable? So thankful to have Kiva. I don't need these artificial people near me. Exactly. Now, what was that? Is that still looking for Kiva's new clippers? Is that? Not much to do many steps so far. We'll go after dinner. Oh, you'll find idiots out there now because it stopped raining. It was much better when it was raining, Jonathan. It was fabulous. Not a living soul out here. I loved it. You have a Barney and he does the same job. Oh, Barney's so cute. Lola was so adorable today. Let me find you the picture that I took today. She didn't even know I was taking a photo.
There was a woman at work. She wanted some help. So I messaged her and she asked me how I was and I asked her how she was. And she said, spending more time talking to the cat.
How does the cat feel about this? Just asking. Now, where shall I put it? Shall I put it
Johnny,
in?
Johnny got a bag of 6 new potatoes, which was supposed to be 2 jacket potatoes.
Oh, dear me. Shall I tell him about the order that I put in?
Have you put one in?
No, not that one. The other day.
Yeah, go on.
You know Mike likes his chocolate. I put 3 white chocolate in. And they sent me a text and said, we haven't got any. Would you like this dark chocolate? You know, the really dark, bitter chocolate? Instead. So I looked at it and I thought, no. So I put no. Was there anything else missing off that order? Don't think there was. Although I'm thinking about, not the crumpets, the other one, the pancakes, the gluten-free pancakes. So I think there was an issue with the gluten-free pancakes that they just didn't have any or something. So the order arrives and Mike shouts up, did you order 3 bars of dark chocolate? I said, no. He went, oh, because 3 have turned up. So even though I'd said no, but the thing is, you don't get charged for it. So the last time it was these pancakes. And basically you could order 3 packets of gluten-free pancakes. It's a 6 in a packet.
Yeah.
Right. They're very nice. They're not overly large, but they're very nice. But you can only order 1 packet of crumpets. So what had happened was, in the order bit, I'd ordered 1 packet of crumpets and I'd got a text to say they didn't have any crumpets. So would it be all right if they swapped one packet of crumpets for one packet of pancakes. So I said, yep, that's fine. Mike then shouts. So I shout, we're checking the order, and I shouts down, one packet of pancakes. He said, no, I've got three. I said, well, we've been charged for one. They just keep putting extra stuff in, don't they? So what you get, it's like that film. What was that film? Forrest Gump. Life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. You absolutely don't. Right. I can't get that to slack, and I'm not quite sure why.
Jacket potato, Kim, is a large, usually large, large potato with the skin on it that you cook. You just stick in the oven or stick in the microwave and cook it. Yeah, baked potato.
Yeah.
And then you usually chop it in half. Well, Johnny seems to be the expert on baked potato. Chop it in half, put a load of butter in there, put filling in it, tuna, cheese.
Coleslaw.
Coleslaw, chicken, you name it. Ah, Anthony's provided a link.
There you go.
Johnny's the expert on flavour, not flavours, fillings.
Oh, I'm loving that one. Kim managed to get her mum 96 rolls of toilet paper.
Excellent.
They only come in one amount. That's genius. Can you imagine if you inadvertently got sent three? You can never have too much toilet paper. Trust me on that one, you can't. Right, I've got a picture. All I need's the link. So let me see if the link's working.
I don't know if I screwed up or they screwed up. It's probably me.
With what?
The Angel Delight is a pre-made pot.
Oh, for crying out loud. It was supposed to be powder.
I know.
This was after our discussion of the butterscotch the other night.
Yes. There's some downstairs. I don't know what flavour we've got.
We didn't have any milk, so it was irrelevant.
But we have got milk.
We've got milk now. Oh, dear, dear me. Right, let me see if I can get this link. Where's it gone?
Yes, but there's other goodies in there.
Is there? Oh, that's all right, then.
Have you forgotten?
Yes, I want to be surprised later. Right, image upload. Is that the right image? Are you the right image? Because I'm trying to copy a link here.
There's dog treats.
There is dog treats, but don't tell Lola. She's had quite sufficient.
She doesn't think so.
The little minx. There she is. There she is. Right, I've got the link. This is one you definitely need to see. coconut milk, because there was no rice milk. I've heard good things about coconut milk, but I must admit I'm not overly fond of coconut. Does it taste coconutty? Have you had coconut milk?
I'm not a coconut milk. No.
I'm not an overly... Mum used to love coconut. She liked Bounty bars, and I didn't.
Oh, I like Bounty bars.
Oh, if it's got chocolate on, Mike likes it.
I told you, I've got those coconut biscuits that are 2 months out of date in the cupboard.
He hid them at the back, was the story.
I hid them at the back because I was...
on a mad diet.
On a diet. And then I found them last week when I was...
not on a diet.
Sorting the cupboard out to put stuff in.
You needed to find a home for 96 toilet rolls.
Yeah. Well...
do you know, I think we probably have got about 96.
Four packets of mashed potato.
Ah, yeah. Isn't she adorable? She was that far gone. That's on the, you know, we've explained before, you come up some stairs and then you take a left-hand turn. That's the little landing between the two. And we put a bed on there that just fitted on for her. We break our neck every time we try and get up and down, but she's fine. She was that far gone, she didn't even know I'd taken a photo. Look at her little face. And I think, isn't her little tooth out as well? Can you see her tooth? Oh, yes. She's got the biggest fang out. Just to have a look at, and her other ones. Aren't they looking lovely and white? But she was well gone. Look at that. At least she was in no danger of falling down the stairs in that position, which I wouldn't put past her. She was so, so sweet. This was in the middle of my, you've got a session on you didn't know about. Actually, that there's a story with that, isn't there, Mike? That follows on from what we were discussing last night about training. This thing was put on, and it was put on as an online conference. And the rationale was, it was organised about 3 weeks ago, I would say. And it's called Leap Into Live Streaming Bootcamp. So The idea is it's been organised by a company who provides software for doing live streaming. Now, what live streaming are we talking about? Well, it's live streaming to Facebook Live or live streaming to YouTube. Now, obviously, that's what we do with After Hours, and that's what we're doing now. Now it's a radio show, so it's just audio, but when we go on YouTube, there's audio and video. So this leap into live streaming bootcamp was really being pushed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that'll be to promote the use of their software, which is completely understandable. So Mike got notified about it, and I got notified about it. And he said, I've registered for that. I said, oh, right, fine. So I said, yeah, I'll register. Thing was, I didn't think, well, first of all, what would you think was a leap into live streaming bootcamp? What would you think was involved in that? I'll say it's training sessions, so it's not particularly what they're training you. How would you expect that to run? What would you expect from it? It's completely free because it is to promote their product. Good evening, Tracy. We were talking about Spain before. We've had news of Spain on our local, on our national news, saying that they've bleached a beach and killed all the wildlife. Don't know if you've heard about that. Seemed a little excessive to us, but that's what they've done apparently. So let me know what you would expect from a leap into live streaming bootcamp. So I first problem I had with it, and I don't know if Mike did, you went along and you registered. So you put your email address in and you put your name in. And I thought, well, that should be it. The next thing I would have expected was a confirmation email, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you get one?
Can't remember.
I don't think I actually did. It was about 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago.
I must have done. Because I have got all the sessions in the calendar.
And I see, I didn't. So I don't think I did get the thing. But what I found was the first thing that annoyed me was they're really over-egging this and saying there's 40 sessions. In 3 days. Now, sometimes they do that. That one we attended yesterday had three different tracks. So you picked, there were three sessions running at the same time and you picked which one you wanted to go to. But this one, no, they're running them all separately. So I don't know if you've actually checked your calendar, Mike, but they go on till 3 a.m.
Well, no, they do. That's what I said.
Which I thought was a little bit ridiculous. The other thing was, so Paul's saying talk about the configurations needed to be successful for one part. Absolutely. There was a keynote to start it and the lady was very good. Bubbly and just the type of person you would want to listen to on a live stream. And of course, remember, it's backed by the company selling the live stream software, which used to be an absolute bargain. It was about £35. It did almost everything that Wirecast does, and Wirecast at the time was £1,000. So for £35, amazing. But it then went down on sale, and I already had this software, and I said to Mike, this software's on sale, it's probably worth you getting it. So we both already had a copy, when all of a sudden, just out of the blue one day, they decided this software was going to go subscription-based. So you could no longer just buy it like we'd bought it. Well, I said the proverbial's going to hit the fan here, and it did. But what they'd said was there's a pro level and a standard level, and anybody and everybody who'd bought their application got a lifetime license for the standard version. So you couldn't really complain at that. So they are not idiots when it comes to dealing with people who have issues with them. So because of that, I honestly would have expected better with this. So my first problem was, once I'd registered, it then told me I had to register separately for each individual event, all 40 of them. Really? Yeah, I thought that was a bit much myself. Everybody who goes into Costco's now would have a face mask. I think that's going to happen here when they finally let us out, but there's no news on that yet. And now Boris is on paternity leave, so there's the end of that. So I did my duty with all of these sessions and it started today. So as I say, lady got going. She was very good. Session was exactly what you would have expected for a keynote, a real rah-rah session, you know, bigging it all up. But what I hadn't noticed was I'd gone full screen with the video. It wasn't until I'd finished that I went out of full screen with the video and just scrolled down. And I had no idea there was a chat going on underneath the video. Now, I didn't have any idea because I was watching the video. And I'm looking at this video and I'm thinking there's no way this is live. But I thought, well, it's the keynote, so maybe it won't be. So after it was over, I scrolls down and I start reading the comments. Oh my word. They got ripped a new one. People were saying, is this live? Why isn't this live? This is pre-recorded. And I thought, well, it's the keynote, so cut them some slack. You wouldn't want anything going wrong in the keynote, would you? But the comments were scathing. So I actually thought to myself, like I said to you guys yesterday, does it make a difference if it's live or not? And your answer was no, wasn't it?
My answer was no, yeah.
I don't think it made much of a difference to me in this respect for this keynote, whether it was live or not. But I would say for a good 50% of the people in the chat, they were scathing. And I thought, well, cut them some slack. That's the keynote. Let's get into the second session. And that one's bound to be live. Because obviously, you know, if you're doing 40 sessions in this boot camp and your product is the platform for broadcasting live, you're going to use it, aren't you? You're going to showcase it. So I thought, calm down, you know, calm down. Let's get into the next session. So the next session started. Now, what was the next session? Let me have a look, because I put all my notes in the same page. So I can definitely look at what the next session was. The next session was a guy saying, just press the button. So it's how to overcome perfectionism and focus on telling your story in live streamed video. So I thought, fair enough. He gets going and he's outside his house with a camera in front of him on like a selfie stick, which he then like pushed further away from him. And he had a fisheye lens on it. So it went like virtually circular. And literally 2 seconds later, he was upstairs in his studio. And I thought, this isn't live. There's no way it was live. He also was doing overlays. And it turned out these overlays were from Prezi. Has everybody heard of Prezi? It's like, it's for presentations, online presentations. And the idea is, you know, it piddles all over PowerPoint. To me, it doesn't, but it's for delivering online presentations. And what they'd done was they'd created another arm of the business to provide video overlays. And he was using those. And Mike looked at it and he was in the middle of 2 sessions of his own. And he said, that's never live. We're looking at it. He said, and it's green screened. And I looked, I said, no, it's not green screened. So the two of us are then squinting at the screen to see if he's got like a green glow around him. I said, no, it's not green screened. I said, because look at it. If it was, he wouldn't have had that plug there, would he? And there was a plug socket on the wall. So as Kim says, unless he can fly. Exactly. He kind of faded out gently and then faded back somewhere else. So I said, no, it's not live. Can't be live. Then I started focusing on what he had to say. But to be honest, his delivery was a bit OTT. And I thought, no, I'm not going to learn much here. So I thought, I'll just take it down and look at the chat. Some people who like missed the keynote or were thinking, well, the keynote wasn't live, but the rest of it will be live, were absolutely going mental. And I really did think after our discussion yesterday, you know, does it make a difference? Does it make a massive difference? Is the learning not the same? But then even I was thinking there is something about a live dynamic. Now, what they had done was what Mike said. The speaker who was on the video, and it was pre-recorded, was in the chat. So they'd arranged for the speaker to be in the chat to answer any questions. But that was the point that the speakers, so by this stage, I'm on to session 3. No way that was live. I know the guy. No, not live. Plus the fact they're using all kinds of fancy stuff, not just green screens and overlays, but all kinds of fancy stuff that you look at and you think that's got to be edited. You cannot do that. Or you wouldn't risk doing that live. unless you were incredibly comfortable and confident going live to the point if it goes wrong, you don't worry about it, you would not do that live. And I could see certain things that were clearly ScreenFlow transitions. So it definitely wasn't live. So I gets into the chat again and he's in the chat answering questions. He's getting it in the neck for the fact it's not live. And he does live all the time. And he said, you know, he will quite happily do it live, but it wasn't live. He then says, you'll love this bit, none of the sessions are live. So there's 40 sessions into a leap into live streaming boot camp and none of them are live. So I'm just laughing behind my Mike's training at work and I'm just sniggering away behind him and he must be thinking, what's going on now? Well, it erupted. This chat erupted. What made it worse was the chat system that they'd implemented. So what we're using now, you can see who is speaking and you can see that they're naming other people and you know who everybody is. He had to say in this chat, if you're making a comment, can you please put your name in it? Because otherwise I can't reply. I don't know who I'm talking to. That kicked it off as well. So unfortunately, his session was just people screaming blue murder. So I'm tittering away behind Mike and about, let me have a look. Must have been when they got into session four. Session four, I think. And they sent out this note. Hi, everyone. Apologies for any confusion. We made the decision to make all videos for the boot camp pre-recorded so that we wouldn't run into any technical challenges. That is perfectly fine. That's something that your manager might say to you at work. But why I'm just laughing so much at that is their product is an application that you use to live stream. And they are saying, we decided to pre-record it so we didn't run into any technical challenges. Are you going to bother watching the rest, Mike? That is just so bad. There's 22 comments on that and I haven't seen them all yet. So I'll go check the comments later. But I just thought the fact that this live streaming company had decided to pre-record was because they didn't want to deal with the technical challenges of live streaming. Boom, boom. Yeah, that's the kind of day I've had. Not kidding. Oh, Simon, 96 rolls.
Yeah, I just read that.
The oven, not the toilet paper. Oh, Simon. Not software I would be using after that conference. Exactly. They don't trust their own product. That is just ludicrous. They're saying it's because they've got 40 speakers. And I thought, well, they're only speaking one at a time. I really don't see the problem in going live. I find it easier to go live than to pre-record. Honestly, you should see us two trying to pre-record. The last pre-record we did was after I was 64, the one we did from Alvaston. And what was so funny with it was that week, I'm like, I know exactly what I'm doing. It's fine. I've just got to do this bit, do that bit. And sometimes I record the whole lot. Mike will record his bit separate and I'll just carry on and I'll say over to Mike. And I'll stop for a second and then in post, I will slot Mike's bit in. But sometimes it doesn't work like that. So sometimes I'm thinking, I don't want to leave this until everything's prepped, because if I do, then I've got this big chunk of recording to do and not enough time. And because we were leaving so early on the Friday morning, it wasn't all done. So what I started doing earlier in the week was doing it in chunks. So there was probably about five chunks to that last live. But the thing was, you know, you get going with it. And then if you were live, you would just deal with it. But if you think about it, if you're live, we're live at 9 o'clock at night. So unless we've got a delivery coming, no one's knocking on the door. But during the week, trying to do this recording, I'd got the mowing mafia outside. I'd got dogs barking. I'd got all kinds of noise. So I thought, do it overnight. Then I'm trying to do it overnight and I've got ambulances going past. And I'm like, for crying out loud. It literally takes three times as long to pre-record something than it does actually just go live. And I do appreciate there is that element of you have to get over what if. because you'll drive yourself crazy with what if. One of the funniest with me wasn't actually when I was going live. Didn't even get that far. It was about 2 years ago, and I was doing a demonstration of Affinity Photo for iPad, and it had just been released. So I'd scheduled a live stream, and I'd had the devil's own job trying to get a desk set up that actually worked. Can you find that mail that I sent Mike with the picture of the desk in? It'll be on AWeber. It was about Affinity Photo. Just see if you can get the photo to put in. And the problem with the desk setup was, when you're demonstrating an iPad, you can't really show them where your finger is. So you want...
What was it?
A couple of years ago, I said. Just do a search. Surely there's a search. You can't really show your finger unless you've got another camera. So I tried this camera at every angle known to man and could not actually get it lined up properly. And of course, I'm doing it live. In the end, I managed to find a way. And what I did was I got a standing desk thing. So a bit like a little table that goes on your desk so you could stand up and put your keyboard on it. So a little standing desk. And I put the iPad underneath it. But it wasn't high enough. So I then had to get two cardboard boxes that had come off webcams that were about 5 inches tall. And I put one under each leg. Then I had to attach the camera to the standing desk so it was pointing downwards over the iPad. So the setup was the mother and father of all nightmares. It was that bad I couldn't even see the screen of my iMac. But we were going live. So it came to the appointed hour. I goes into YouTube, clicks go live, nothing. It would not have it. So I said, fine, calm, calm. Backup stream. So on YouTube, when you go live, there's a primary stream and there's a backup screen. So I thought, well, the primary stream is clearly not working. I'll switch to the backup. Nothing. Wouldn't have it. I came out of everything, went back into everything. YouTube were just having a moment. There was no point trying on a different account or anything else. There was just no way. And of course, I'm trying to do all of this on my iMac when there's all of this equipment in front of it. And I couldn't see a thing. It was to my VIP list, if that's any help. So I'm sitting there, and by this stage, obviously you don't go live that early. I would probably, in those circumstances, go live about maybe 8 to 10 minutes before the show. So I said to Mike, it's not having it. It's not having it. So he's in the chat and I'm checking Google status, YouTube chase status. No chance. Wasn't happening. But I was not going to let go. So I said to Mike, I'm going to go into Connect. Now, for years, we used to use a system called Adobe Connect, which is more of a webinar platform. So it's not actually... I guess it is live streaming, isn't it? But it's private streaming, if you will, on a webinar platform. So I said, well, take them all over to Connect. Let me see if I can get into Connect. But we hadn't used this system for years. So I get into Connect. Well, no, actually, I don't get into Connect. That was the first fiasco. I comes to get into Connect. And what had it done? It had picked that moment to force me to change my password. What part of I can't see the iMac screen? Well, you should have seen me. I've got the keyboard at an angle. I'm straining past microphones, cameras, this table in front of me to try and see what the password is to get that in to then put a new password in. And of course, you can't just put a new password in. You know that Sean Bean meme? One doesn't simply put a new password in. No, one simply has to get it in one password as well. So I did all of that and got in. And I said to Mike, right, we'll do it in here. We'll do it in here. But of course, what was I actually showing and what was all the blurb that I'd sent out? I was showing Affinity Photo for iPad. And all the blurb had said, replace your Adobe subscription. You don't need Adobe. I had to take them into Adobe Connect to show it to them. So Mike was in the chat on YouTube saying, YouTube's not having it. You know, YouTube won't do it. Come to this link. And I did it. Well, I sent out an email, the one that Mike's looking for. Not that one, Mike, I don't think. It would be after that. I'm sure it was Affinity Photo. I sent out this email. And I said, like, you know, when everything goes wrong. And I'd had to send it out because there must have been some people who'd gone to YouTube afterwards.
There it is. It was a complete disaster.
That's the one. It was a complete disaster. Can you extract the photo from it? In fact, you can take... not that photo. There's a picture. There it is. Oh. That's the one. Take that out and put it in... Can I put it in Slack or Dropler?
Put it in Dropler.
Couldn't see the screen. So I had to send this email out, and the title of the email was, it was a complete disaster. And I gave the, all the behind the scenes thing with it. But even that to me, I mean, that for some people would be horrific. They'd never try live streaming again. That for me is like, well, we got there. You know, okay, Mike had to sit in YouTube. And if somebody said, why isn't this live? We're over here. YouTube's not working. But everybody who came over to connect had a ball, and they were saying, like, you know, oh, how ironic that we're in Adobe Connect. And I said, I know. But all of the blurb had said, like, you don't need Adobe anymore. Oh no, you can just go Affinity. And I'm sitting there thinking, I wish Affinity had something for live streaming. That would have worked brilliant. Yeah, let me have a look at it. I remember what year was it, Mike? What date was it?
2018.
Let me have a look at that. Yeah. Remind myself of the nightmare. That was it. Yeah. Couldn't see the screens. None of them. Yeah, they look like tissue boxes, but they're not. Right. So my iPad's in the middle. And either side, you can actually see, if you look at the boxes, they've got a picture of a camera on them. There are Lola cams. Then I've got my MacBook Air on the left-hand side I was running the broadcast with. Then I've got my iPad in front of me, the white one with the notes on. And then behind that, there's my three screens to broadcast on, plus my keyboard, which is behind the microphone. Yeah, that was a good night, that was. But, you know, people will bear with you. They know it's live. That's part of the thing of it being live. Well, they've just stripped the jeopardy out of all 40 sessions, and it's kicking off big style. I will report back how it goes the next couple of days, but not pleased. No, they were not pleased. I can understand it. People have probably thought, this is live and I want to get all of the benefit of live. And they booked time off to do it. And then they found out it's not live and they're not best pleased. What we got here? They're asking questions, but so many of them were like, it's great information, but this isn't live. This isn't live. I wanted this to be live. Where's the Q&A? And they're actually sat in the Q&A. Oh, my word. Right, so Kim says, you've got to be comfortable with not being perfect. Having that comfort's a great place to be psychologically. Your audience is usually very forgiving. They are. Your audience is going to be amazingly forgiving. And I've been in the audience at events where it's like, I'm less forgiving if they don't know what they're talking about. But we went to one session. Were you at that one at Bolton when the lights went out?
Yeah.
We were at the stadium in Bolton. Bolton's a town about 22 miles north of here. And they have a football stadium. Brand new build. And we went there for a conference with Microsoft. And as you've just heard, we got in, we got going with it, and the lights went out. He had a laptop, but obviously the screen had gone. And he stood there and went, well, I'll just keep talking then, shall I? And he did. And it was a lovely session. He was comfortable with his knowledge. The fact that we didn't see the exact slides at the exact moment, you know, we'd got handouts. We all had mobile phones with torches on. No one had died. We just carried on.
I had a tech fail today.
Go on, what happened?
You know, you were there.
Which one? Skype. Oh, you got kicked out.
I was running a session, training session this afternoon for work. I'm talking away, 5 minutes left, and it just kicked me out of Skype.
Do you know what his first words were? Has the internet gone? As I'm sat here watching one of these pre-recorded videos, I said, nope. So I know for a fact it's not.
I ended up rebooting my machine. 5 minutes later, when I went back in, most of the attendees had gone.
They probably got kicked out as well.
Yeah.
But every time you go to Down Detector since this COVID thing, you're having problems with Teams, Zoom and Skype. Every single day. So, no, the internet had not gone. The internet came back early hours of Tuesday morning, and touch wood, definitely touching wood, has been all right since. But yeah, these things happen. Once did a lesson which had been observed by my tutor using the internet. Without the internet, the college network had gone down. But these things happen, don't they? And you do. So Simon says, needs to, sounds like it needs to go in some Fiasco Hall of Fame award. Do you know, stuff like that happens and you do need to get used to it. I mean, I remember the first time I went live and it was funny looking back. It was 2001. I had a connection speed of like 28.8 on a modem and I was trying to do a full screen share. The system we used to use for that back then was called Centra. And I was never able to demonstrate anything design related on it because it only supported 16 colours. It was like the old computers back in the day with the Sinclair Spectrum 16K graphics. And everything was like blocky, like a cartoon if you tried to demonstrate something like Photoshop. But the session I'd set up was really meta. I was teaching other people to use this system. And we'd gone up to a venue that we used for our local group and we were going to broadcast it on the internet. And it was the first time. And we had somebody dialing in from Coventry who was in charge of the organisation that we were one little group of. And, you know, you're like, I feel so stupid. I was in a different room to everybody else because the idea was that they watched it online. Even though they were in the same building. That was the whole point of the demonstration, to prove you could do it online. And this was 19 years ago. It was unheard of 19 years ago. And you feel such an idiot talking to yourself. But I think once I'd done that, it was like, well, it was fine. It was fine. We then took this system on and we started doing it. We did it once a month, didn't we, at first? Yeah. And we would demonstrate something once a month. And people got used to coming on. And I think we did that for, I think we're still doing it, weren't we, when we got a Mac? Mm. So we'd done it for at least 5 years after that. You know, and there was maybe, it was a small group, so there's maybe like 15, 20 people. But then you'd get a recording of it and you could then put that recording out. When you think back then, that was pre-YouTube. YouTube did not exist back then. So we had these recordings and we had nowhere to put them because on your website, you've got such tiny space, you couldn't actually repurpose these recordings. And we've still got these recordings to this day. What was comical was one of these recordings, and I mentioned it to Mike, and you know, you have been talking about, shall we say the word, Access. And I said to Mike, we did a session on Access. I said it was advanced queries. I said, we did it on Centra. It was March 2006. I said, can you find the recorder? He just looked at me like, what? But you, did you find it?
No, it's the only one we haven't got.
It's the only one he can't find. But I did say to you, I have the notes. I can find the notes. So what's your... We must have recorded it. We must have done.
Well, it's not there.
He's lost it, he means.
Yeah, I lost it in the move.
But you do, you get used to it. But the prospect of doing it, well, I mean, you're inviting trouble, aren't you, when you call it a live, it leap into live stream boot camp and you're not actually doing it. And the titles of some of these sessions, it's not too late if you want to go to this thing as well, because it's totally free. It is, where do you need to go? leapintolive.haysummit.com. Where's the thing I was looking at? Click on there. Right, there's... this is what's coming up on it. So these are the kind of titles that they've got. Where's the schedule? Right. How to do live video demos as a one-person team.
That's on now.
That's on right now. Yeah, pre-recorded then. But they're saying live demos.
I connect with my audience by doing frequent live video cooking demos. They get to join me in my kitchen and ask questions in real time.
Because that's going so well, isn't it, Mike? What's people saying with this, though? Oh, she is. She's in a kitchen, isn't she? She's done two sessions, that woman. There's not many people asking questions on that one. Literally, there's only five comments. But there again, she's doing it. It's a pre-record. It's 31 minutes and she's got three cameras. Most people don't do that with three cameras live. You'd struggle to use three cameras live.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't do that. So that's why they're getting annoyed. But I'm going to keep with it. I've had other failures like that, but people are incredibly forgiving. You're quite right, Kim. As long as you, if you're, You get Dancing with the Stars in the States, don't you? We have something here called Strictly Come Dancing. And a few years ago, I'd never seen it. I couldn't think of anything worse on a Saturday night than sitting watching people dance around. Not for me. But this particular year, it must have been 8-9 years ago now, they had a coup on Strictly Come Dancing, and they managed to sign up a politician, or an ex-politician from the UK, called Anne Widdecombe. She is a formidable lady, and anyone less danceable, you wouldn't find. And she was signed up for the series. So my mum said, I've got to watch this. Should I have got to watch this? She's a scream. And she goes on, and she is partnered with one of the funniest dancers, great guy called Anton Dubek. Didn't you see Ed Balls dance? Well, it was a tough call, wasn't it, Jonathan, as to who was actually worse? But what I'll say about both of them was, I mean, she was no dancer and she knew she was no dancer. But he said, as they get interviewed, these little pieces to camera that they do, she's really trying. She says, I'm learning the steps, I'm really trying. And he said, well, I just say to her, you know, do what you can, learn the steps. But the number one rule, so this is him talking to the camera. He said, I've just told her, the number one rule, don't make the audience nervous. And I swung round to Mike and I said, that is the number one rule in anything that you do. Do not make the audience nervous. And what you mean by that is, you know, if you fall over, and people have done it, how many times have dresses got ripped and stuff? Just dance on. Just smile and dance on. Don't burst into tears or have a hissy fit or anything. Just focus, dance on, carry on, carry on. Show must go on. And she totally got that. And she was really into it. And she, even though the dancing was nothing short of appalling, she never made you nervous because she just took it on the chin. Anything they had to say, she, you know, she was, that's fine, whatever. And then like, oh, I got a two. I wasn't expecting a two. She was fantastic. Now, Jonathan's just mentioned Ed Balls, who was Shadow Chancellor. You're quite right. So he's in the opposition. They don't really have that concept, Jonathan, do they, in the States? When somebody becomes president, you don't have the ones for the opposition. There's no like leader, you're all equal. But we have like a shadow government. So in the event that the government are voted out, which, you know, that's happened a million times, they would then take over and they've already got their jobs lined up. So he was the money man. But he did take it in such great part that, again, you weren't nervous. And that's the thing. Even though that's a dancing show, I just totally took from that. That's the thing. Don't make the audience nervous. And there was another one that I had. I think this was probably before your time, Jonathan. It was back when Flash was a viable product and I was doing a demo of Flash. It had gone swimmingly well in rehearsals, as Mike will attest. And it was what I was actually demonstrating would have been really useful for people. It was how to do video inside Flash and then put it in a wrapper and put it on a website, which back in the day, you know, we're talking 2008, 2009, would have been a tricky thing to do. Well, I started this demonstration. How many times did Flash crash on me?
Quite a few.
Literally every 2 minutes. And there's nothing you can do.
Mark's on his way.
What? Oh.
The driver.
The driver Mark's on his way. Excellent.
You
good.
Know, you can amend your order in the 4 days before it's due now.
Oh.
Yeah.
I still think Jonathan was right. And it doesn't make any sense, that, but whatever.
Well, I'll go and open the door.
You go and open it. Yeah. Make sure Lola's all right. So I was doing this demonstration and the app that I was using was just crashing like crazy and there's nothing you can do. But I had in this session where it was crashing, I had one lady who wanted to do online training. She'd done a little bit of training, but not much. And she was horrified at what you had to deal with, that not only did you have your microphones to deal with, your video stuff to deal with, your demonstration to deal with, you had to remember things, you had to deal with the chat. It's a tricky job. And she was horrified enough at that without realising that then technical things could actually go wrong and you had to deal with that as well. One of the other people there was about five people from the training group that we were in. So they were already face-to-face trainers. And they were comfortable and confident doing face-to-face training. And they were there really to learn a little bit about Flash. But none of them had done online training. And they were like, oh my God, no, no, no. And they were like, I'm never, ever, ever going to do training like that, because stuff like that can happen. You know, if you do it in video and it crashes, then you just cut it out. But one of them wrote to me afterwards, and she put a thing on Twitter as well and LinkedIn, I think, which was, Elaine just carried on, like, and the software was crashing, and she was brilliant, and it was, and she didn't take, she said, I can't really remember learning that much about Flash. I was just so in awe of somebody who has this live stream full of people, and you've just got to carry on. And she said, I'm not sure I could have carried on, but you've really made me think about trying it, you know, just to see. And you do, you just got to carry on. Is he actually here, or are you just making him welcome with the man trap?
I got a text that says Mark is on the way.
Because he's not supposed to be here till 9.
No.
Where's he coming from?
I don't know.
Do you not have a little map to follow?
No.
I have a little map to follow. Well, I can follow mine.
That posh.
I'm taking Jonathan's link. Is that link, Jonathan? Is that the one he did Gangnam Style? Oh, that was fantastic.
Lola's lying across the back door, just like May used to do.
She's taken to doing that. She's not done that in 6 months, and now she's doing it all the time. I think that is Gangnam Style, isn't it? That was the best dance that he did. It was amazing. But the thing is, we all look forward to it and we all enjoyed it. And the fact that he was never going to win didn't matter. He got into it. It was a laugh. And yet there were people who went on. Do you actually watch it, Jonathan? Because the same year, I think, that Anne Widdecombe was on, there was another person on, and he was an actor. Oh, what's his name? Played Ricky. Ricky Butcher in EastEnders.
Sid Owen.
And he'd always, you know, I'd known of this person, the actor, for years, about 15, 20 years. He was always such a laugh. But they got him on Strictly Come Dancing and he was terrible. And it wasn't that his dancing was terrible. He was like a board. He was so up himself and, I don't want to be marked on this. Don't grade me on it. He just couldn't handle it. He could not handle it. And the minute he stepped out, he made everybody nervous. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad you are. You're trying and that's all that matters. Copy the wrong file. Let me have a look. Barney update. You didn't used to watch it, but if you're desperate, you will. Oh, Jonathan, there's worse on than that. And you told me you'd seen it. What was that other programme, Mike? Is it The Naked Truth? The one where that... Oh. Oh, look at Barney. Look at that. That's a twin of Lola. Look at the feet. That's beautiful. Why is there no teeth marks in that bed? Why is there no stuffing hanging out of it? Or is that just Lola? Mayer wouldn't have a bed. No, he thought beds were just for ripping to shreds. Wouldn't have a bed. That is gorgeous. We're going to need a picture of Kiva soon as well, so we can put it all up in the gallery. How absolutely beautiful. So I'll update you tomorrow how that's actually going, the Leap Into Live or Not streaming bootcamp. I would say the next mail will say we'll give you your money back. Because it's free.
Well, so do we pay for it.
But people are still moaning whether it's free or not. I should get in there and say, come to a live after hours and learn about live streaming. I should do that, but I won't. I won't. I'll be good. I'll be really good. You can tell what a wonderful day I've had. Right, let me move that. Oh, there's Slack. That's not what I'm looking for. That's what I was looking for. That bit there. Because I've moved my page to go and find the link for the other thing. So do we ever hear from Tracy about this bleaching of the beach? How are you getting on with the groceries? Absolutely. Due at 9 o'clock. Think we got the salad, didn't we? So dog treats we've got our fingers crossed for. But somebody seems to have ordered the wrong dessert.
That's all they've got. I've checked.
Really?
Yes, go and check.
On the upside, when it arrives, it's already mixed, so just give me a spoon. And I'll take a photo for Kim. We'll see what arrives. It's always a surprise.
They don't do butterscotch.
Oh.
Apart from in these parts.
Morrison's do. Shall I put an order
in? Yes, put an order in.
Right. Oh, it looks like it's going to be banger slot time. See if I can get a slot tonight at midnight. Excellent. Right, good night, Paul. Good night. Haven't seen the news about the beach. No details. Right, I'll put the link in that I've got so you can have a look. It seems so sad that the beach was flourishing and they've just nuked it. That's the link I've got. So have a look at that. That was on the homepage, that. Night, Jonathan. Anyway, we're all heading off now, aren't we? We've got a delivery to do. Something to eat. I'm going to get a dessert. Well, I mustn't count my chickens before they're here. No, I mustn't count my desserts before they land. But when they land, I've already got a spoon. Just bring it up, Mike.
See, I left that for you from last night.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
You did. Excellent. Right, okay then. Another fabulous evening talking with the lovely MacBiters. Same time, same place tomorrow. We might even have a name for baby Boris by then. Do you think we will?
COVID.
COVID Johnson. It's got a nice ring to
COVID
it.
COVID the doggy.
Oh, anyway, have a fabulous day, people. It's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we will both see you next time.